Good evening, everybody. Brian Newbert here from GoldenBlack.com, driving around State College, Pennsylvania in a rental car following Purdue's 74-67 win over Penn State at the Bryce Jordan Center. A little late with our podcast this time. I won't get into the reasons why, other than to say that there's got to be a way for functioning Wi-Fi to exist in buildings with a lot of concrete. That's all I'm going to say. But I'm a little bit behind in my work today for reasons that I won't articulate here. But here we are. So this is your Golden Black Radio Express post-game podcast. Once again, it's brought to you by our friends at Fox Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the East End Grill and Ripple and Company, and the Whitaker Inn. I will not be driving past that. I'm currently driving past Beaver Stadium. Big difference. So anyway, Purdue rebounds from the disappointing loss to Wisconsin with a really hard-fought win here at Penn State. I think when you look at this game, you know, Purdue goes up 13 in the second half. I think that, you know, I don't want to say that they won this game more decisively than the final score reflects, but they did put themselves in a really good position in the second half. Some circumstances, I think, played into this. I think it was weird for Purdue to have to play so many minutes without either Zach Edey or Travion Williams on the floor. Obviously, they don't practice that way. Obviously, their whole team is built to have one of those two guys out there at all times. So I think there was some adjustment going on there. Matt Painter kind of had to nurse that a little bit at times. But also, Penn State, give Penn State more credit here than you kind of take away from Purdue, the fact that Penn State actually rallied to lead this game in the last few minutes of the game because they made some really tough shots. Jalen Pickett, you know, is a really nice player for them, made some really big shots, made some really difficult shots, and just really made a game out of this thing. I don't want to say single-handedly, but that run where Penn State made 8 straight shots, that was really something, and that was way more to do with Penn State's offense than I think it was about Purdue's defense. Why did Purdue win this game? Purdue won this game because I think they found themselves defensively a little bit in this game. I think that wasn't just the end of the game. I think they played a much better game defensively than, you know, they have been lately than they have in Big Ten play. But also they obviously played their best defense when it mattered most at the end of the game, when they needed those stops to close this game out. They got them. Penn State missed some shots, too, it had been making prior, such as the nature of kind of Big Ten basketball where you put so much into a comeback and, all of a sudden it's pretty hard to sustain. But Purdue did do a good job defensively, much better than they have been doing. The scoreboard might not reflect it. The box score might not reflect it because the percentages end up looking pretty good. The scoring total for Penn State ends up looking okay. But that has everything to do with just that 8-of-8 run for Penn State. And I think, again, that was much more about Penn State getting hot than it was about Purdue being negligent from a defensive perspective. So give Penn State credit, for all of that. Purdue won this game, though, you know, because they played their best defense when they needed to, but also because they have a foundational player in tough moments in Travion Williams. He's always been that player where you can really rely on him down the stretch, really, really productive in clutch moments, kind of things like that. And he did it again. He kind of put Purdue on his back there at the end, got you buckets when you needed buckets in the second half. Just kind of what you come to expect from Travion Williams nowadays, or through at least the past 2 years, where he's been that guy that, you know, again, you can kind of set your watch to him. Now, Purdue hasn't won all of those games where he's made all those big plays, but he's put them in position to win a bunch of games. They won some of them. They lost some of them. But the reality was that, you know, every time it seems like you needed Travion Williams to make a big play in a big moment, he makes it. So I'm driving around campus here getting a little lost. I don't know how the hell I just drove past the Bryce Jordan Center again. I probably should let my GPS do its job instead of using my phone to do this thing. Also Mason Gillis was, you know, to me, and I know Travion Williams gets 21 points in 21 minutes, was great on the glass. But to me, Mason Gillis, you know, is the MVP of this game. I think he was a guy Purdue does not win this game without. You know, he goes 3-for-4 from three-point range, makes a really big three there in the final few minutes, a really confident three off a pass fake when they kind of left him, and he's becoming a player. You can't leave him. I don't know what his three-point percentage is right now, but it's got to be north of 50% at this point. But also just all his typical value, too, in terms of his efficiency, his effort, the spark he provides, the physicality he provides, sort of the competitive streak he provides. He's really growing into a really good player for Purdue, a really valuable player, and, you know, a little bit more than a role player. You know, I've always kind of defined him as like an elite role player. I guess I should call that like an ERP, E-R-P, an elite role player. I think that's one of the highest forms of compliments you can give a guy like that. But he's becoming maybe even a little bit more than that, because he's not just a grinder anymore. He's a shot maker. He doesn't miss free throws ever. He has one of the best free throw forms I think I've seen at Purdue. Doesn't miss free throws. Doesn't even hit the rim on most of them. And he gets to the line without needing offensive usage. He gets to the line through just, you know, straight up trash. He just gets to the line off the offensive glass. He's changed games this season by simply getting fouled, chasing offensive rebounds. That's a very unique skill. You don't see players every day who have that knack for doing that. He made a really big play before the half, chasing an offensive rebound, getting fouled, and then just stealing 2 points before the halftime buzzer. Really big play for Purdue. Really important sequence for Purdue, because they ended up extending their lead without either Edie or Travion Williams on the floor. I thought that was significant, because that was a golden opportunity for Penn State, I thought. You got Purdue playing differently. You got Purdue can't run half of most of its stuff because they don't even practice like this. They're not used to guarding this way. I thought that was a golden opportunity for Penn State to kind of move ahead of Purdue before half, but they weren't able to do it. They turned the ball over too much. I think this is a good win for Purdue. I think that, you know, you look at this on paper, and, you know, Penn State always comes with a certain sort of connotation, like it's Penn State in basketball. You know, they can't be any good. But when you look at what they've done this season and when you watch them play, this is a better team than I think people give them credit for. They're not, certainly not where they kind of hoped to be in a couple of years under Micah Shrewsbury, but, you know, they had just won at Northwestern. They rallied in the last few minutes of the game. You know, up until recently, Northwestern's been considered an NCAA tournament type of team. I don't know if that was ever reality, but they've been good enough to put themselves in that position. You know, they won at Indiana the last time they played on their home floor. They play hard. They've got shooters. They spread the floor. They drive the basketball. This is a tough matchup for Purdue, too. And I think this is going to be a win that might age well, too. This is a quad one win right now. And, you know, most Big Ten road wins are going to be. And I think this one will probably end up somewhere in that strata here, because I think Penn State's going to beat some people the rest of the season. They certainly gave Purdue all they could handle today. I think that was Purdue's general expectation. I think it's weird when the coach of the other team knows your players as well as anybody out there. So Purdue, you know, overcame a lot of random stuff in this game between the center's foul trouble and the familiarity quotient with Penn State staff. So a good win for Purdue, a good bounce back sort of outcome for Purdue following that Wisconsin game. And some reason to believe that, you know, Purdue probably took some enduring lessons from that Wisconsin game. So that's what I got from Purdue's win at Penn State. This has been your Golden Black Radio Express rambling post-game podcast from the Chevy Malibu, driving around lost in State College, Pennsylvania. I'm actually not lost anymore. I figured it out. So this is Brian Newbert from GoldenBlack.com. Thanks for listening. I appreciate it. Thank you once again to our sponsors. The Follett's Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the East End Grill and Ripple and Company, and the Whitaker Inn. So I will talk to you guys again whenever the hell Purdue plays basketball again. I don't know what's going to happen with this Michigan game. Michigan has COVID issues and had to postpone their Michigan State game today. As of this morning, my understanding was that game was off, but I guess Michigan's going to give it a day or two here before they can really say with any certainty what they're going to do, or what they're going to be able to do, better said, So maybe I'll talk to you Tuesday night after the Purdue plays at Michigan. Maybe I won't. So whenever I talk to you again, that's when you hear my voice again. Thanks, everybody.